Your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." The word of the Lord for the people of God. We come today to a word or words of encouragement, and we want to tie together two portions here. One portion that we received last Sunday, the latter part of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, and now here the first part of chapter 5. The very last verse of chapter 4 was, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." And now Paul says, "Encourage one another and build one another up." Comfort, encouragement. But as Paul sat down to write to the Thessalonians, though I am reading out of the New American Standard Translation, which uses two different words, Paul uses the same word, parakalete, parakalete, for what is translated here, comfort and encouragement. But you who have the ability in two different languages, you know that at times the sense of what is being said leans toward one word being used at times in a particular way this way, and that same word at times being used a little bit differently, just a slight shade of meaning. Some translations use the very same word, and it's the word that we get when Jesus spoke to his disciples, "I will send the Comforter to you," the Paraclete. Here Paul is speaking of comfort and of encouragement that he wanted to pour into these men and women, old and young, who he had ministered among for such a short time, and who now he encourages from a distance. Let's think about courage. And let's think about encouragement for a few moments. Go with me deep in the Old Testament and to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses is giving instructions both to the leadership and most especially to Joshua, who would succeed him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and 7, we read Moses saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, those who would oppose you. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance." Strong and courageous. And at the beginning of Joshua, we hear this very same word. Joshua chapter 1 now, verse 6, verse 9, and verse 18. Verse 6, Joshua now is the one who is giving voice. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 9, God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And verse 18, "Anyone who rebels against your command, Joshua," the people now speaking, "and does not obey your words in all that you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Well, those are great, stirring, and rousing words that were given at such a key point of entering into the promised land. But let's also hear the tender words that come to us from the Psalms and from the voice, from the lips of the psalmists. Psalm 27 concludes, "Wait for the Lord." Wait for the Lord. All of a sudden, the battle gear of this world is set aside, and there is a patient waiting for God. Wait for the Lord. Be strong in quietness, we might say. Be strong in that waiting. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And also from Psalm 31 and verse 24, very similar words. They are consistent one with another. 31 verse 24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." Key words. You see, we do not bring these to the world at large and say, "Look, you need to just buck up and you just need to pull up your bootstraps and you just need to be a man or be a woman and go for it." There is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ that puts muscles on the bone, that puts fiber in the backbone and strength in the soul to move forward when all else would want to give way. The Apostle Paul now, we've been deep in the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? What does it have to say? I remember in Acts chapter 28, Paul was on his way to Rome, and that was something that would cause the most stout-hearted to become faint. But Paul was going there with a key purpose in his heart, to be a witness in that central city in the Roman Empire of God's grace and glory. But Paul had come through various tribulations and struggles of many different kinds. He had again been shipwrecked. This was not the first time for him. It was not the first hardship. And I'm sure that Paul, through the course of his journey, had become weary. But in verse 15 of Acts 28, we read here, Luke doing us the service of recording exactly what was going on as he travels with the apostle. We read, "The brethren, when they heard about us making our way along to Rome, came there as far as the market of Appius and three inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God. There's a word for this month of October, this word of this month of Thanksgiving. He thanked God and took courage. Courage is something that God extends to us, but even as salvation, we can say, thank you, Lord, but no thank you. There are other gifts that we can say, Lord, I think that I'll pass on this because it just might mean heavy service. It just might mean extra toil. Well, Paul said, if you're handing out courage, I'll take it. And he thanked God for the encouragement that was being poured into him, that was being offered him through these brethren who came out to meet him and to cheer him on his way. And he took courage. Well, just as Paul received encouragement from others, he would want to share that also with others. So here he does. Back in chapter 4, he spoke to them, we do not want you to be ignorant, to be uninformed, brethren. That's verse 13, about those who are asleep. He wanted to instruct them so that they would know where those who die in Christ have gone and what is on ahead. And now he also speaks to these brothers and sisters in Christ about what is coming down the road. But Paul says to them, he says, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Clearly, this was something that Paul, though he had had only 3 weeks of ministry among them, something that he had already shared with them and poured into them. He says, you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, the coming of Christ, a thief-like quality. People who are caught unawares, a sudden event with no escape. How often it is that when things go rough in our world, when there are alarming reports in the media, when there are things that make us wonder whether there is going to be a next year, how many times our hearts turn and suddenly we become tender to the things of God and we pay more attention and we need to know, what does the Bible have to say? But the Bible is just as valid and just as pointed in its instruction about those good times when we become careless, when we become frivolous and flippant, there especially. Because here, Paul says, while they are saying, the people of this world, peace, safety, wonderful, it's a great day to be alive. Paul says, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains. How many ancient civilizations and peoples of even more modern times have learned this lesson, that when they have lowered their guard, when there has been a relaxing of the strain of vigilance, that at that very point, destruction has come upon them and they were not able to escape. But Paul says, verse 4, you, brethren, and here he talks about the Christian character. He says, you are not in darkness. Paul to the Ephesians says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Those things in which you formerly walked. Well, death and darkness, they are almost synonymous terms in the spiritual realm. And Paul says to these, he says, you are not in darkness because Christ has made you alive. You've been made alive together with Christ. So Paul says, brethren, you are not in darkness that that day would overtake you like a thief. And Paul says, we are not to sleep. We are not to lose our heads when others lose theirs. We are to walk the walk of faith, seeing with perception such as this world will never grant to any person, but to pay attention to the signs that are all about us. You are sons of light, verse 5, sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, drowsy, dopey, spiritually ignorant. He says, let us be alert, let us be sober, let us be vigilant, let us be paying attention. How often Jesus and Paul and others spoke, be not deceived, don't be caught off guard. Be vigilant, be alert, walking in the Spirit. Paul in verse 7, he says, those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we, here again, Paul is, he's addressing dear brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, but since we are of the day, let us, again, he says, be sober. And he says, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, one of the most important articles of weaponry or armor for the ancient soldier was the breastplate, to guard the most integral part of the body. A soldier might be gashed or cut in his extremities, but yet be able to press on, though with difficulty. But a strike straight to the heart or straight to any of the vital organs, and he would certainly be set aside. So Paul, he uses this image of the breastplate of faith and love. Now, could not Paul have used some other term? Why faith and why love? Because once again, faith is such an integral part, an absolutely vital, must-have component for us to walk, that we see not as this world sees, but we see with the eyes that God has granted to us, that we see with the eyes of faith. And most importantly, that we see Jesus Christ in all of his glory and his surpassing strength and the reward that he is able to give to every faithful, obedient servant. But also love. How easy it is to set aside love in the midst of the battle and to say, oh, and to become careless and hard-hearted. But Paul says you need to keep loving, keep tender in spirit. And Paul says also, the helmet, the hope of salvation. And when Paul uses the term hope, it's not, well, I hope it might come to pass. It is a confident, it is a sure thing that he speaks of. When he says the hope of salvation, it's not, I hope I get to heaven. I hope that I make it through the gate. But he says, I'm as good as there, not because of what I have done or what I am doing or what I will yet do, but because of my hope in Christ's finished work. God has not destined us for wrath, the apostle said, but for obtaining this blessed salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul says, who died for us? Now, I suspect that that was about the very first thing that Paul ever said to these people when he came among them in Thessalonica. But here, as he comes towards the end of 1 Thessalonians, though he would write to them again quite quickly, Here he shares with them again. He wanted to push that in front of them. He wanted to ever remind them that Jesus Christ, wonder of wonders, he died for us. He gave his life. He didn't just come here to be honored and to be held on high. He came to give his very life. And Paul says, so it doesn't matter whether we're awake or whether death takes us and there's a funeral service, we will live together with him. We will live. I mean really live. More than this stuff here below, we will live together with him. The life that he lives now, we too shall live for all eternity in his blessed presence. Well, of course. Verse 11 just follows ever so naturally after all that, doesn't it? Encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. Here the apostle speaks as a pastor from afar, and he takes delight in something that I take delight in also. When I see the people of God being the people of God, doing what they are supposed to do without someone behind them and poking them and needling them, or there with a clipboard and checking, making sure that this or that is getting done and that people are being nice to one another or bearing witness or encouraging one another or talking to one another or checking up on one another, that the people of God are doing. And here I'm sure it was with inexpressible joy that Paul said, keep on encouraging. Oh, I know you're doing that, and it blesses my socks off, but keep on doing that. You're doing so well. Keep on with it. You're blessing one another, and you're encouraging one another. You're building one another up. You're bearing witness for Christ. Just keep on doing what you have been doing. I think the apostle, even as he uses the word comfort or the word encouragement, I think that there was more encouragement than could ever be measured on the scales was pouring into him. And so with joy, he says to these brothers and sisters, who he would have dearly loved to have gone back over the miles to visit with himself, he writes them, comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Oh, dear friends, how easy it is for this world to come to us with all of its trinkets and toys and gadgets and goodies, and especially as we are in the big countdown towards Christmas and the spend fest that has already started. I could barely get here to Minto yesterday because I had to go past Polo Park, and what is already taking place is just unbelievable. This world absolutely consumed with getting all that you can, taking delight in all the things that are there for us to take delight in, no thought whatsoever except maybe they'll get to their customary Christmas Eve service just to make mom or dad happy, just to pay tribute to something that stirs their heart a little bit because of childhood memories. Are you walking by faith, or are you walking by sight? This world would eagerly want you to walk by sight, to say, look at this, buy this, grab this, do this, experience this, have this. Jesus Christ calls each and every one of us to live on a different level, to walk hand in hand with him because he has bought us, because he has called us, because he has something so surpassingly better for each and every one of us than anything this world could offer. Wouldn't you want to say, yes, Lord, what you have, I will gladly receive? And won't you do that today? Bow with me in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, which instructs us, which rebukes us, which edifies, which smacks us at times because of its blunt honesty. But Lord, also we give you thanks for the comfort, the encouragement that we receive, that you are in control and you watch over your own. You have gone to prepare a place for those who love you and who have surrendered themselves to you, who are walking as your disciples. Lord, we are mightily blessed. Lord, I pray, should there be any man or woman here today who does not know of your salvation, that they would say, Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that the man, the woman who prays that they would understand that they have passed from death to life, from the road of darkness and hell to the road of light and blessing and heaven. This world might not understand. Certainly it doesn't understand. But Lord, your ways are higher, far higher. So may there be salvation come to hearts right now, I pray. May there be that repentance and that surrender, I ask. And may they go on to walk, to grow, to be your true disciple every day. So, Lord, hear us, and so work. And for each one who has come today, who urgently needs this comfort, this encouragement, how easy it is to become wearied by this world and all the things that we do see around us. May each man and woman, each brother and sister in Christ, know what encouragement you delight to pour in. So, Lord, pour it in. Pour it in, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.